There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday edition. And a big thank you to me for filling in for me last hour. As appointments get made in the real world, people say, well, you know, it's we can do this over the lunch hour. And I will talk to people. It's like, you know, kind of busy. But the only time we can have this kind of important meeting thing, the only time we can have this is during the lunch hour. I'm like, okay. Well, so I filled in for me last hour, but I am here. It is Monday. It is 1:07 and 31 seconds. There you go. There's my timestamp as we get started this hour. As always, like it was for the last 15 years. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106 also gets you through on the text line. And you can leave us a talk back message if you're using that very cool FM Talk 106.5 app. Of course, you stream the station there, get all our show schedules there. You can get the up-to-date podcast all posts there first. Our social media feeds with breaking news are on there. Traffic maps, weather information. But in addition, there on the front page, you'll see the microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record a message. And then another button, boom, emails it to me here at the show, and we can play it back here on there. So check that out as well. And if you haven't downloaded the FM Talk 106.5 app, what are you waiting for? Go to the App Store or Google Play, depending on what, you know, if you're iOS or Android, and just look for FMTALK 1065, and you know you're in the right spot. All right, good deal. And good to see this man back in studio, Executive Director at Mobile Bankkeeper, William Strickland. Thanks for coming back.
Happy to be back. Always an honor.
It's a lot to talk about this hour, as it is Earth Day, and well, pull back the curtain, because I always do. Conversation you and I had before we got started, and I'm going to set this up, and then I'm going to let you reintroduce yourself to folks, because this idea, I think, that gets made by news, by cable news, that you look a certain way if you're environmentally, you know, you're concerned with the environment, and if you, you know, if you look a certain, I mean, it's almost two-dimensional characters here. And I said, you know, Earth Day gets this image out there. I remember seeing this as a student at the University of Alabama, all drum circles and hacky sacks, you know. And then I realized, but those people also probably hadn't stepped off pavement many times in their life. And then there were all these other folks there, like me, that we spend all our time, you know, enjoying clean water, clean air, you know, grasslands, forest, all these things. And we're probably even more engaged in it. We just didn't have hacky sacks or drums.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great point. You know, I commented, it's great to be on conservative radio on Earth Day.
Yeah.
And those of you that are listening, you can't see me. I've got long hair and the beard, so, you know, I look the part. But,
you and I both, I got more beard than you do, probably.
There you go. Yeah. But, I grew up hunting and fishing.
Right.
That was my introduction to this work. In fact, this weekend, you know, Earth Day weekend, it's when folks actually, you know, usually celebrate the thing. I was at the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Conference in Minneapolis. They're a group I've been a part of since I lived out west, and they're a group that advocates for our public lands and water. And, you know, they're hunters and anglers, so they're coming at it from, like you and I,
that
we care about these creatures, but they care about access, and they care about having healthy ecosystems, biodiversity. All things I'm sure your listeners care about as well.
Yeah, and, well, I tell you what, we go to the news break. I'll ask you if they got into some of the, if BCA got into some of the discussions I'm interested in that they've been having kind of off the air. All right, so you come to this, but you come from a history of enjoying the outdoors as a consumer of the outdoors, right?
Yeah, you know, consumer maybe isn't my favorite word,
but I mean,
I would say I'm a part of it. That's often where these distinctions come. And you can be a part of it if you're not somebody that's harvesting an animal or taking fish.
Agreed. You're probably better than me if you're that person,
but,
right?
But if you are doing that, if you care about a particular species, you go deeper into it, and you begin to learn how it interacts with the other species, and you realize you have a role to play. And so, from my, you know, that's my experience in my life. I got a degree in theology. We talked about this last time, and that was a real focus of mine, is us being a part of the rest of creation. There's this Greek idea that we're somehow separate above. And so while stewardship is from the very beginning of our book, we often forget that. And we think, well, that's something it's easy to do. Most people don't think about where their food comes from, where their waste goes when they put it, or what happens when you flush the toilet. It's magic. It's gone. And we live in this sterile environment where we're separate from the rest of that. And that's just not reality.
No. And I think it is, as we are denser and denser populations going forward, this will be an even bigger concern. You know, you can look at places that didn't get ahead of it, other parts of the world where we were 100 years ago, but other places that are dealing with major issues. Then I see things come back here. I go, did we not learn our lesson back here at home?
Yeah, and it's important from the macro level of how we build our cities, how we build our roads, what the way in which people move throughout their day-to-day life, but then also micro. And, you know, you can have that personal experience, and we'll talk about some of those things about what we can do different. But it starts with how are you experiencing and seeing the world around you, I think.
Do you think it's a heavier lift for some? Because I said I'm impressed by the person that doesn't have a dog in the hunt. You know, even though they do, we're going to come back to it, they do. But that doesn't have it as life and also what their passion is. That, you know, that's even more impressive. Somebody who's going to say, well, I may not go ever put my feet in that water. I may not walk down that beach. I may not go in those woods, but I want to protect it. You know, they impress me maybe more than somebody like me.
I agree. It's impressive. I'm not sure that I've ever actually met that person. I think when I drill down deeper, and you know, like you were talking about, I'm hanging out with people that are in the drum circles and hacky sacks. And you'll find in that group as well, there are people that go deep. People that have been in the wilderness for days at a time. I mean, their life revolves around that. I mean, they can't go very long without being out in it. Now, they may not be harvesting an animal. Like, you know, it may be.
But there's a bunch of ways to enjoy it. They have a dog in the hunt, though, because they're doing things
out
there.
That's right. So, but what I do find is those that have the strong ideology that aren't, don't have a dog in the fight. It often ends up falling hollow. Now, I haven't been doing this forever. I'm sure those that are out there that just hold to their ideals very strongly. But I think most human beings care about where they spend their time, their money, the things that their family cares about. And so it's rare to find somebody that actually wants to fight the fight if they don't know and experience that they have a dog in the fight.
You know, I think it's incumbent upon us, those concerned for others, to give them simple choices or easier choices to do things that are environmentally conscious. You know, sometimes it gets leveled this Goliath task.
That's right.
To keep clean water, or Goliath task, you know, to not have, pollution in the air. When you could meet very closely in the middle and tell people it's not this here. It's if you do this and this and this other person does this and this, things get better.
Yeah. So, and I think that's the beauty of an organization like ours. We're regionally focused. We are Mobile Bay Watershed, the waters of coastal Alabama. So from county line down here. And I have to admit, just me as a person, I have a difficult time. I'll forget those small things that we can do. I'll say that I'm focused on the middle ground. So there's these global issues that are outside of something that I can do about. There are, are bigger forces at play that maybe we can affect if we all come together. There's these middle issues that can really make a big difference for the waters of coastal Alabama. But I'll start with these small things, and I made a list here. And these are the ones that, I have a hard time remembering to talk to people about, because I see the battles ahead of us. But things as simple as choosing to use less plastic, you know, whether it's you know, you're going to go single-use plastic for your coffee cup, or you're going to bring your coffee cup with you, right? You know, to this day and age, it's popular to walk around. I know the crazy water bottle wars and all that stuff. So it's good that it's become popular to do that kind of thing. And we may make fun of it, because it's a little bit silly to
you can
pay
get one
$40.
That doesn't, yes, you can get something that holds your water for the day that doesn't cost you, you know, a day's wage.
Right. And so I've got my Nalgene that's been with me forever. And someday it'll break and I'll get another one.
Oh, I got a shelf full of them. I'll trade you out.
Yeah. yeah. And you know, they last a long time. So things like reducing single-use plastic, things like knowing where your food comes from, that will help you to make different choices. Understanding, you know, we have some legislation that'll make it more known, but where's my shrimp coming from?
Mm-hmm.
How is this beef raised? What mm-hmm. in which way is this vegetable grown? And what impact is that having on folks downstream or in the air or whatever, yeah. whatever it might be? And you can what's great is what's better for your body is often what's better for your neighbor for the things that they're experiencing. Now, again, it's a little bit more expensive to eat that way. But once you start understanding where your food comes from, you can find ways to cut those costs and still live that lifestyle.
And I think if you give people that choice, see, if people just don't think about it, then you can default, you know, by regular market forces. But if it is not a Goliath difference in right. price, right, that you go, here's why this is better, this local, you know, local vegetables, local beef, these kind of things. Number one, better for you. Number two, here's why it's better. I think most people, if they stop long enough to think about it, they'll say, no, you know, that's fine. It's not, I'm not going to have to change. I'm not changing my whole life here.
That's right. And we'll get into some of the bigger forces at play on those things in just a minute. But for now, yeah, just taking a minute to pause and think, where's this coming from? Mm-hmm. Another one is, you know, we all have either a septic system or a sewer line. At least I hope so. Those of you that don't, let's go ahead and take care of that.
Yeah.
But again, understanding and thinking about, hey, what happens when I flush the commode?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll give a shout out to the people at Moz. They've got a Citizens Academy. If you have time, take part in that. But it's as simple as understanding when you flush the wrong thing down the toilet, that's costing taxpayer dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's causing a sewage overflow. So you or your neighbors are getting sewage. You know, there's kids
and
playing
you're
in puddles.
And you're going to pay for it.
Yeah, we're all paying for
yeah.
it. That's right. And so you're making better choices, not just about, you know, not flushing the wrong thing, but when you see something, if you smell something in your neighborhood, if you're not getting your septic tank pumped out regularly or maintained, those are super important small things that we all have to do. But if you can be just a little bit more thoughtful, it can make a big difference in the way that all of us interact with our water.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I go back to this, the water is why we're here, to quote E.O. Wilson. But, I mean, it's why we're here. And it's one of the big frustrations I've had for decades is this thing that is so key as a keystone to why it's so great here. And I get, you know, if it rains half an inch, you know, we got overflows and stuff. And I, you know, I know it's a lot more complex than this, but I sit and go, we've got a rover on Mars. Okay.
Right.
I can go. We can go log in here and see. Let's keep the out of the water.
Well, it's complex, but it's not. We know how to solve these problems. This is not space age technology and right. science we're dealing with. It's pretty simple engineering, and most folks doing it are not having to plug in any sort of calculations at all.
Right.
It's a matter of funding.
So why are we failing? Why are we failing?
So let's move on to the next thing. And I'll lump these two together.
Okay.
Making water quality, that's what I do. But, mm-hmm. but making clean air, clean water, the things that you care about, a voting issue. I talk to elected officials all the time. When I build that level of relationship where they're able to be honest, they'll tell me, and this is both sides of the aisle. You'd think a Democrat would say, oh, yeah, this is really important to me.
Right.
But in our state especially, it's just not a voting issue. And so when they're gut level honest with me, that's not coming into play when they're deciding what's my priority. Because their election, their staying in office mm-hmm. is not dependent on how they vote on a particular issue, how we fund particular things. So Moz has gotten a lot of grants recently, and even though and Bud would say this, they're not satisfied with where they're at as far as cleaning up the sewage spills, but they're investing a tremendous amount into our infrastructure here in Mobile County. I'm really pleased to see that. They're very transparent with us. They still have spills that all of us wish they wouldn't have. Now, there are other utilities, smaller utilities, that aren't investing in their systems, and they're broken systems. We have a high water table. We've got outdated infrastructure. So, of course, there's sewage overflows. And you really have two different views on it. You have some that will say, man, that's going to be too hard and too expensive for us to fix that issue. And then, of course, when there's no political will to get it done, the money doesn't flow. The other side of it, and this is all the things I'm talking about And my team probably rolls their eyes at me. I played for Coach Saban, and one of the things he always say was, if you want to be good, you don't have a lot of choices because it takes what it takes. And so whether we're talking about sewage spills or toxics in our fish or whatever it might be, when I talk to people, I say, look, here's what it's going to take. It's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. It takes what it takes. Are we willing to do it or are we not willing to do it? And so I, for one, think that we should not have to question if it's safe to swim in the waterways. That's the outcome.
I don't have to come check y'all's website to get the report before I take the kids to the water.
That's right. And so we produced that swim report. We'd like to test more sites. We're growing that program. We're going to test more sites. But we're often sent a question, hey, what are y'all doing about it? And we are doing things about it. We're tracking down those sources. We're putting pressure on utilities. We're working with utilities. And we've been able to see a reduction of, we estimate, around 11 million gallons less sewage going into our waterways.
Well done.
Because of our work.
Well done, Baykeeper.
Well, thank you. But the problem is that it's more than a drop in a bucket. But
right.
But it is still a small percentage of...
It's going the right way, William.
It is. And that's what... Thank you. That's the encouragement that I need to keep going. But what we do have to remind people often is that we're not the ones that decide to fix that sewage overflow issue or not.
Right. But you pointed out, that people need information.
And so what I would ask of listeners that do look at our swim guide when you see the issue, do ask us for more information. We want you to be educated, but then decide to do something about it. Call your elected official, whether it be a state representative, your city council person, your county commissioner, and say, I've noticed there's high bacteria in this area over and over again, and I want to let you know that I think that this is on you. You know, mm-hmm. You're the one that's supposed to be protecting the interest of the people
your
that vote you,
yeah.
Put you in office, and I don't feel like you're doing that in this way. They're not hearing that enough when it comes to things like this.
Well said. And I know you got the list. We're going to come back more of this list. Our guest, Executive Director at Mobile Baykeeper, William Strickland, on this Earth Day. Your thoughts as well at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 126 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This kind of fits in, too, on this Earth Day. Call my man Trey. You got junk, you don't junk it on your neighbors. Don't junk it in the waterways. You call Trey, and he gets it. It could be at your home, office, storage unit. If you've got junk, he's been doing it for 16 years, and it's easy. You make a good old-fashioned appointment. You pick up the phone, or you go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and they find, this is really cool. This is a concept, kids. They find the day that you want to do it and the time of day that you want to do it, and they set an appointment. And then you're there, and they're there, and you point at the junk you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. If you say yes, they get to work and get it gone right then. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Continuing our conversation with Executive Director of Mobile Baykeeper, William Strickland. You had these lists of some common sense. Well, I guess they're common sense, and they're things we can do.
Yeah, so we started with the micro of choosing your reusable coffee cup mm-hmm. or your water bottle and reducing in general, bringing your reusable grocery bags to the store. Mm-hmm. I mean, that makes a big difference in making sure your appliances are working correctly, where it goes when you flush the commode, things like that. Then we got into making water quality a voting issue. And this is, maybe we'll spend a little bit more time on this, but I just want to start to say, now that I've dip my toe in the water when to seeing how the policy is made, and this is no surprise to your audience. Y'all talk about it all the time. What's happening is these big companies are working with big government, and they're not really too concerned about what it is that you care about necessarily. Mm-hmm. And so they're making decisions that are not in your best interest. And so there'll be common sense things that just won't get done. There's a few things on the list, but I'll start with one because I know that your audience is probably familiar with it. People, when I moved here, one of the very first things I heard about is the causeway.
Mm-hmm.
Causeway changing the flow of the Delta and the Mobile Bay, changing our nutrient sediment regimes. Every person's on the street not talking that way, but they'll say, I tell you what the problem is right now is the causeway.
It's that dam at the foot of Chocolata, William.
And they're not wrong. It's changed the way that it's supposed to work, mm-hmm. the way that the grasses, oysters, all the critters that we like operate there. And it also changes the way we interact with the water. And so as I've heard that, and I think there's some renewed political will, just to let everybody know at the very beginning stages of talking with some of our elected officials here. But how, one of my questions has been, if everybody knows that this is a big issue and everybody says, hey, we need to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Why has nothing been done about it for...
I was in meetings about this. It's got to be 20 years ago.
Oh, I'm sure.
I was sitting in the meetings 20 years ago.
I've got the report. That's my reference manual for my discussions.
I was there.
Now, and I'm not trying to give too much hope for something that's on the way, but I'm using it as an example to say, and this is just one example, and we talked about some of the legislation. We'll get into it in a minute that we've been working on. But right now, there's federal money available. The infrastructure bill that you may love or hate, Florida's using it to change the way the Everglades flows and to get
could,
that
could
water.
Could it apply here?
Absolutely, it could. And so the question is why is it not? Who stands to win for us not doing these things that we care about?
Now you put a bee in my bonnet. All right, coming back, more with William right here on FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, where it sounds like even you had a bunch of inventory coming in Friday. Now what's happening now? You got more?
Yeah, we got a truckload Friday. We got another truckload this morning, and we should have one more truckload tomorrow. So tomorrow morning, so we've got a inventory is looking really good right now. I mean, we got 3 Honda Accords on the ground. We got 3 or 4 Hyundai Sonatas. We got 3 Camrys. We got 2 Honda Odysseys. I mean, just more small SUVs than I can say, and plenty of trucks. We've got a bunch of trucks came in this morning as well.
Okay.
So we've got the great inventory and financing is there as well.
That's what I was going to say quickly here. Just kind of financing. How's it looking this week getting started?
Good. I mean, we got buy here, pay here, and we've got the credit unions with a single-digit interest rate. So we're covering the whole spectrum. We just need you to come out here and give us an opportunity to help you, and we'll set you up with a nice vehicle.
All right. How do they find you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can just call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with William Strickland, Executive Director and Mobile Baykeeper. And man, we're going to have to just leave the mics open during the break, too. But you mentioned this. This is a thing that early on, I think 20-something years ago, this idea of, you know, and not having a causeway, but to me back then, I suggested let's raise it like the bayway so water flows in and out. People, cars can still do car stuff, and water does water stuff.
Yeah, so
see the scientific angle.
I'm with you. I'm not going to be prescriptive in how we'll leave that to engineers and hydrologists. And,
right.
And yes, I have an engineering degree, but non-practicing. So,
okay.
But you're right. Restoring flows to where closer to where they ought to be, that changes the way is the water salty? Is the water fresh? It changes the way the nutrients and the sediment flows through. Where we're building up marsh in certain areas. And we're taking away marsh in other areas. It's mm-hmm. able to flow more freely. That gives the ability for our seagrass, our oysters, and the things that we all care about to grow, because this is what they're here for, a particular environment. And when you change that, there are consequences. And, of course, if we were to do something about it, there would be consequences of that as well. There would be a shock to the system most mm-hmm. likely. But that's any sort of good project that you want to work on when it comes to restoration. And we talked about that one as an example of there is federal money available for it. There's some more legislation that we've worked on. So I'll first highlight some people that are willing to stick their neck out and do some things. And again, you ought to call these elected officials and tell them thank you. So Representative Chip Brown, he put forward the seafood labeling bill. And you mm-hmm. think, well, what's that got to do with Earth Day and the environment maybe? You know, when I'm in a restaurant, how's that going to help improve water quality? Well, what it does is it gives you the ability to vote with your dollar. you now have the choice. You can decide to pay a little extra, more likely, for your locally caught seafood. And that supports your neighbor who lives down there in the bayou or somewhere else here in coastal Alabama, that this is how they make a living. But it also tells them that it's important that we keep that species, those critters around for a while. So we need to improve habitat. We need to increase our stock. The forces of supply and demand start mattering a lot more for shrimp and oysters. And so when we start doing that, we see improved water quality, right? So you can call Representative Brown, and Senator Sessions helped carry that through the Senate. These are our guys down here in coastal Alabama. And on the other side of the bay, Representative Fidler has put forth a bill to decrease the permitting burden for living shorelines. So you got deregulation and potential for improved water quality. What's not to like about that?
And it's all about what I love about it, William, is giving people the choice.
It's
not some draconian mandate. It's saying, hey, let's make it so people can make a choice, because we know if you watch it, the people are going to make a choice that's going to benefit the environment if they are given that choice.
If it's even close, they'll make
if it's even
choice.
Close, right. If it's not some Goliath difference between the two, I think human beings are going to choose to make things better where they live.
Well, and I totally agree with that. In too many instances, we're subsidizing the wrong thing because the people that got you elected are the ones that want you to subsidize the thing that may not be the best for the environment. And the last one, and we talked about this last time, we call it the Shore Act, the Safe and Healthy Outdoor Recreation Act, and that was Representative Lipscomb up in the Coosa watershed. He put forth a bill that's going to increase people's ability to know if their catch is safe to eat or not. You can find that information, and I could,
This is like when you go, you see some of the places where you see the warnings about the fish and all this. This is going to make this a lot more ubiquitous, right?
If you show up to the boat ramp, there's going to be a sign there.
Yeah. Are these bass okay for me to keep, right?
Right.
If I'm going to eat five of them, you know?
And much to my surprise, because this bill we worked on last year, every member of both houses voted for it. Slight language change, didn't become law. So we thought this year, easy, we got it, did a little work in the off season. Well, guess what? That bill is dead as a doornail. We're sitting at the end of the session. I'll come back on and give you the final result. But basically, a combination of our government not wanting to increase their work of putting that information out, and then some big industry groups deciding that they didn't want people knowing that information because it could make them look a little bit bad, killed this bill.
So this is this is a no-brainer bill to me, and it's dead.
I have yet to hear any reason that makes sense to me as to why. And I have said, I'm not the one that's the decision maker, to be clear. But you know, I'm involved in these conversations. We are very open to negotiation, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the part that I'm like you. I'm scratching my head saying this. I've not heard any reason at all that makes sense to me as to why we wouldn't want this to be a law. And, of course, my final point on this is – and you guys, again, your audience is used to this. There's nobody coming, right? It's up to us. If we want things to be different, we're going to save ourselves. Nobody else is going to save us. And so in this instance, we're going to be putting out signage. We're going to be letting you guys know. You can look for a launch of a fish guide type program on our website. But we have been given permission to put signage at a lot of boat ramps. We're seeking permission to put them at other boat ramps and other popular fishing places. And maybe someday the state will take responsibility for it. But for now, we've heard you guys, our members, loud and clear, and said this is important to our people and you can make an informed decision. Well, we've seen actually in places like South Carolina, it's increased fishing license sales. So you'd think people fish less if they know if there's contaminated fish. People are more actively engaged in fishing because they're less worried about the problem.
And the flip side, we just have a few minutes left, but the flip side, even if it did, which you're saying it doesn't, the people need to have the information.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless, this is just argument, right? Yeah, it seems like it's so. And before we wrap up here, I want to ask you, I got questions for you on the text line, but this one, a little bit what we talked about earlier in the hour. This texter said, but what are y'all doing besides reporting? He's talking about the water. He said, no one wants to see signs and apps that tell us the water is dirty and the fish are toxic. What are you specifically doing to address the root cause?
I'll be as specific as I can. Certainly I'm not trying to come on here and embarrass anybody, but there's a few different ways we tackle this. So we have 20 years ago, we settled a lawsuit with Moss, and that's been the biggest reduction in sewage spills that we've seen in our county's history as a direct result of that lawsuit. Now, we're a partnership now. It's been 20 years, but we were forced to work together on that. We settled a lawsuit with Daphne Utilities in 2019, I believe it was. Again, nearly a million gallons less sewage entering the waterways there in Daphne now because of that, as a direct result of that lawsuit. So that's the hammer, right? That's the stick. And that's what people know Baykeeper for sometimes, although I'll say we've really filed seven lawsuits, I believe, if the number's right, in our organization's history. The other side of it is we work towards regulatory change. So we're working with the directors of our state agencies, and when you lend your voice to something we're working on, they see, hey, the people care about this. And so that's how we get regulatory change. Or maybe it's legislative. Maybe there's a law that needs to go into place that some other state has. We go, well, that's a good idea. Let's do that here. That would provide more funding maybe for a water utility. Or there's harsher penalties for if you do have
a lot
of spills.
You could have both carrot and stick. Here's somebody to make it better, and if you decide not to, here's the stick.
That's exactly right. And right now, we're in a time where there is federal money available. So we're working directly with a few utilities to try to get some of that federal money so that they can invest it into their infrastructure, into these broken, outdated systems, and make your life better. And so that's from the sewage side. Toxics are a little bit different because you're often working directly with privately held companies rather than private public utilities, but I will say this: there are a few companies that have opened their doors to us. And one I'll mention is Outokumpu Steel, and you can go look them up. They've got quite a record of having a lot of output. Steel manufacturing is not an easy business, but they're voluntarily reducing the amount of pollution they're putting in our waterways, going beyond the regulatory standard and saying, and talking with us and saying, what are you concerned about? So they've been able to address their nitrate issue, and now they're trying to address their nickel issue. And this is because they care. I mean, that's what it's about. And so, again, you want to have that stick, but you want to have the carrot too. And again, if you know somebody that works at OTK, give them a high five and say, hey, thank you. Yeah, I know that you
didn't have to do that. So thank you for the heads up on that. Tell folks how they can get more information, whether we're talking about the swim guide or what's going on with Baykeeper, how they find you.
Yeah, you can find all this information, mobilebaykeeper.org. You can follow us on all the social media channels, things like that. And if you want to get involved, we got a number of different ways you can get involved, whether it be our oyster gardening program, showing up to a cleanup. Again, we try to make it from small to big. You can get involved with Baykeeper. And, of course, we'd love for you to become a member.
Yeah, become a member. And not to get Kane's head any bigger, but that magazine is
it's
fantastic.
If you haven't seen it, you got to get one delivered to your house.
I mean, it is fantastic. Yeah. Great seeing you, man.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Come back and see me soon.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, Dr. McAvoy joins me next right here on Midday Mobile.